down at the front. Falmouth, Virginia, opposite Fredericksburg, December 21, 1862. Began my visits among the camp hospitals in the Army of the Potomac. Spent a good part of the day in a large brick mansion on the banks of the Rappahannock, used as a hospital since the battle. Seems to have received only the worst cases. Outdoors, at the foot of a tree, within 10 yards of the front of the house, I notice a heap of amputated feet, legs, arms, hands, etc., a full load for a one-horse cart. Several dead bodies lie near, each covered with its brown woolen blanket. In the dooryard, towards the river, are fresh graves, mostly of officers, their names on pieces of barrel staves or broken board stuck in the dirt. Most of these bodies were subsequently taken up and transported north to their friends. The large mansion is quite crowded, upstairs and down. Everything impromptu, no system, all bad enough. But I have no doubt the best that can be done. All the wounds pretty bad, some frightful, the men in their old clothes unclean and bloody. Some of the wounded are rebel soldiers and officers, prisoners. One, a Mississippian, a captain, hit badly in leg, I talked with some time. He asked me for papers, which I gave him. I saw him 3 months afterward in Washington, with his leg amputated, doing well. I went through the rooms, downstairs and up. Some of the men were dying. I had nothing to give at that visit, but wrote a few letters to folks home, mothers, etc. Also talked to 3 or 4 who seemed most susceptible to it and needing it. Everything is quiet now, here about Falmouth and the Rappahannock, but there was noise enough a week or so ago. Probably the earth never shook by artificial means, nor the air reverberated more than on that winter daybreak of 8 or 9 days since, when General Burnside ordered all the batteries of the army to combine for the bombardment of Fredericksburg. It was, in its way, the most magnificent and terrible spectacle, with all the adjunct of sound throughout the war. The perfect hush of the just-ending night was suddenly broken by the first gun, and in an instant, all the thunderers, big and little, were in full chorus, which they kept up without intermission for several hours. After First Fredericksburg, December 23 to 31. The results of the late battles are exhibited everywhere about here in thousands of cases. Hundreds die every day in the camp, brigade, and division hospitals. These are merely tents, and sometimes very poor ones, the wounded lying on the ground, lucky if their blankets are spread on layers of pine or hemlock twigs or small leaves. No cots, seldom even a mattress. It is pretty cold. The ground is frozen hard, and there is occasional snow. I go around from one case to another. I do not see that I do much good, but I cannot leave them. Once in a while, some youngster holds on to me convulsively, and I do what I can for him. At any rate, stop with him and sit near him for hours, if he wishes it. Besides the hospitals, I also go occasionally on long tours through the camps, talking with the men, etc. Sometimes at night among the groups around the fires, in their shebang enclosures of bushes. These are curious shows, full of characters and groups. I soon get acquainted anywhere in camp, with officers or men, and am always well used. Sometimes I go down on picket with the regiments I know best. As to rations, the army here at present seems to be tolerably well supplied, and the men have enough, such as it is, mainly salt pork and hardtack. Most of the regiments lodge in the flimsy little shelter tents. A few have built themselves huts of logs and mud with fireplaces. Back to Washington. Washington, January 63. Left camp at Falmouth, with some wounded a few days since, and came here by Aquia Creek Railroad, and so on government steamer up the Potomac. Many wounded were with us on the cars and boat. The cars were just common platform ones. The railroad journey of 10 or 12 miles was made mostly before sunrise. The soldiers guarding the road came out from their tents or shebangs of bushes with rumpled hair and half-awake look. Those on duty were walking their posts, some on banks over us, others down far below the level of the track. I saw large cavalry camps off the road. At Aquia Creek Landing were numbers of wounded going north. While I waited some 3 hours, I went around among them. Several wanted word sent home to parents, brothers, wives, etc., which I did for them, by mail the next day from Washington. On the boat, I had my hands full. One poor fellow died going up. I am now remaining in and around Washington, daily visiting the hospitals. Am much in Patent Office, 8th Street, H Street, Armory Square, and others. Am now able to do a little good, having money, as almoner of others' home, and getting experience. Today, Sunday afternoon until 9 in the evening, visited Campbell Hospital. Attended specially to one case in Ward 1. Very sick, with pleurisy and typhoid fever. Young man, farmer's son, D.F. Russell, Company E, 60th, New York. Downhearted and feeble. A long time before he would take any interest. Wrote a letter home to his mother, in Malone, Franklin County, New York, at his request. Gave him some fruit and one or two other gifts. Enveloped and directed his letter, etc. Then went thoroughly through Ward 6. Observed every case in the ward, without, I think, missing one. Gave perhaps from 20 to 30 persons, each one some little gift, such as oranges, apples, sweet crackers, figs, etc. Thursday, January 21. Devoted the main part of the day to Armory Square Hospital. Went pretty thoroughly through wards F, G, H, and I. Some 50 cases in each ward. In Ward F, supplied the men throughout with writing paper and stamped envelope each. Distributed in small portions to proper subjects, a large jar of first-rate preserved berries, which had been donated to me by a lady, her own cooking. Found several cases I thought good subjects for small sums of money, which I furnished. The wounded men often come up broke, and it helps their spirits to have even the small sum I give them. My paper and envelopes all gone, but distributed a good lot of amusing reading matter. Also, as I thought judicious, tobacco, oranges, apples, etc. Interesting cases in Ward I. Charles Miller, bed number 19, Company D, 53rd Pennsylvania, is only 16 years of age. Very bright, courageous boy. Left leg amputated below the knee. Next bed to him, another young lad, very sick. Gave each appropriate gifts. In the bed above, also amputation of the left leg. Gave him a little jar of raspberries. Bed number 1, this ward, gave a small sum. Also to a soldier on crutches sitting on his bed near. I am more and more surprised at the very great proportion of youngsters from 15 to 21 in the Army. I afterwards found a still greater proportion among the Southerners. Evening, same day, went to see D.F.R., before alluded to. Found him remarkably changed for the better, up and dressed, quite a triumph. He afterwards got well and went back to his regiment. Distributed in the wards a quantity of notepaper and 40 or 50 stamped envelopes, of which I had recruited my stock, and the men were much in need.